Silently go before the Lord, waiting for Him to speak to us. Oftentimes when we jump into prayer, we jump into telling God what we want without really stopping to get in touch with Him and to listen. So let's just have a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll close us out in that time as we move into our directed time of prayer this evening. Let's pray. Father, we come humbly into your presence this evening in a spirit of praise, in a spirit of worship, singing to you, hallelujah, knowing that the words that we sang of your holiness, of your mightiness, of your greatness are absolute truth. And so, God, we come before you tonight asking that you would be in this place, that you would make yourself known, that you would overshadow us with your mighty presence, that we would enter into this time knowing that you are our Creator, that you are the giver of all good things, of the breath we breathe, of the life that we have, of all of the blessings that we enjoy and so oftentimes take for granted. God, we know that they come from you. And so, Father, we thank you for those things, and we thank you even more for your grace and your mercy, for providing us a way that we might have our sin problem erased and taken care of, that we might be able to approach you as our great Father, that we might be able to come to you in your presence, that we aren't separated from you as we read of in the Old Testament where your holy presence was separated from an impure people, but God, because of Jesus Christ and the righteousness that he has offered to each of us, we can come directly before you. And so we thank you for that tonight. And God, we know from your word that you hear your people when they pray. We know that you are listening to us tonight. And God, we know that you will answer prayer. And God, we know that when we pray according to your will, that prayer has already been answered because you are doing your mighty work. But God, we pray that we would see it and that you would use us and that you would develop us into a people that is mighty for you. So God, bless our time together tonight. Move us closer to you through this time. Help it to be a moment where we develop an even stronger presence of praying to you, that we learn from one another during this time, that we strengthen one another, and that it doesn't end in 40 minutes from now, but that we truly remain in a posture and a season of prayer, as Paul says, that is without ceasing, because we know you are always with us. And so, God, that is our prayer this evening. And we ask for your holy presence to fill this place as we speak to you tonight and as we listen. Amen. Before we get started in our directed time of prayer tonight, I want to begin by reading a passage of Scripture from the book of John, John chapter 17, verses 6 through 21. It is a passage of prayer where Jesus himself shows us the importance of spending time talking to the Father. So John chapter 17, beginning in verse 6, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. They have finished the Final Supper. It's just before he is arrested. He spends some time in the first few verses, the first five verses of the chapter, praying for himself, praying that God would be glorified in what he does, in his actions that evening and in the following days. But then in verse 6, he turns his prayer time to praying for others, for praying for his disciples at that time, and praying for disciples that follow after him, and ultimately for us as disciples in that long chain of disciples. And so I want to read to you the prayer that Jesus prayed that evening for others. Beginning in verse 6 of John chapter 17, Jesus says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, yet you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and not one of them is lost except for the son of perdition, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth, and your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus spent the last moments of his freedom on this earth praying. He prayed that he would glorify the Father, and then he turns and he prays for us. He prayed that we would have the protection and the strength to follow him in glorifying God by pointing others toward him. A few months ago, as a church, we adopted a vision statement for the church. Brother Todd spent many months praying about what God would lead our church to have a vision. Before that, we had talked about a mission statement for a long time, and we realized that mission statement were just really the five things that we do, and it's not just five, but five major things we do, categories that really every church should be doing. We should cherish the word. We should share the gospel. We should strengthen the family. We should serve the community, and we should reach the world. But that wasn't a vision. That's just what we do. It's what every church of God should be doing. So as a staff, we prayed about vision, and God revealed to Brother Todd that the vision for our church would be that Henderson's First Baptist Church would exist to develop generations of God-glorifying disciples who make disciples from the community to the continents. And since that time, we've been focusing as a church on what it means to be a real and an active disciple of Jesus Christ, making disciples of others, being discipled ourselves so that we can multiply ourselves, because honestly, as a church, the only way that we're going to continue to be a healthy church and a healthy force for God, reaching other people, is if we multiply ourselves. A couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, if you were in your Sunday school class, it talked about hybrid animals and about how one particular hybrid animal out there is the mule, and it's really bred to be a working animal, and it can do a great amount of things in and of itself. But the problem is it can never reproduce itself. And so if we're going to truly be disciples of Christ that make other disciples, we have to not only be hard workers working for the mission that God has given us, but we have to be reproducing ourselves in someone else that can pick up the mantle and move forward when we are done with our time. And so we've been focusing on this idea of making disciples. Brother Todd preached several sermons on what it means to be a disciple. We're being challenged in Sunday school to grow and become mature disciples for Jesus. And recently, the Holy Spirit laid upon our pastor's heart the goal of 40 by fall. And it's a goal that challenges us as a church to be more actively engaged in the very first step of disciple making, which is leading people to know and understand who Jesus Christ is and accept Him as their Savior. And that's something that grew out of our first vision statement of being disciples who make disciples. Because a lot of times when we think about vision, it shows us where we're going to go, where our goal is to get, and our goal is to be a church that's making disciples, impacting the world for Christ. But a lot of times a goal also shows us what's going on currently and where we've been. And so the Holy Spirit laid it upon our pastor's heart to say, you know what? We're doing a pretty decent job of training folks, but where we're lacking is that first step of discipleship, leading people to know who Jesus Christ is. Because if you look at our baptismal numbers over the last 2 or 3 years for a church of our size, they're really pretty dismal. And so in that vision, God has shown our church and our pastor that our first step, if we're truly going to be a church of disciples that make disciples, we have to be leading people to know who Jesus Christ is. And so tonight in our time of focused prayer, where I want us to really engage and think tonight is I want us to ask God to lead us and to give each and every one of us the drive and the ability and the boldness to join Him in His work as disciples and as people who are sharing the gospel. I want us to pray for Him to work powerfully in our lives and in the hearts of those who need to follow Him. And so I want us to spend this time tonight really asking God to give us the power and the ability and the drive to follow through on the vision that He's placed before our church. So I'm going to ask several of our church members to come forward and lead us in prayer, asking that God would work a mighty work of discipleship within our people. And then after that, we're going to spend some time in groups praying specifically for the initiative of 40 by fall, asking that God would do a mighty work in the hearts of individuals through His Holy Spirit to lead them to Him, so that when they become a believer and a follower, we can begin that process of turning them into mighty warriors as we disciple them and they disciple us in that process. So I'm going to ask tonight Kathy Noblet to come and lead us in our first prayer focused on discipleship for our young folks.
In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses tells us to disciple our children. He's speaking of His word when he says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." That's Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. And it's repeated again in Deuteronomy 11, so it must be important. So tonight we're going to pray for our children and students of our church. This is a group that's especially precious to me. So let's pray for them and also for the adults that walk with them, that disciple them, the parents, the grandparents, the teachers, the mentors. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you tonight so very thankful because what you have given us in these precious gifts of children are, we just are not deserving of that gift. And we have such a great responsibility, and we know, Lord, that we can only disciple these children if we ourselves are in your word. And so first I just ask that you would help us to look at our hearts, help us to see if we are walking with you. Lord, we love our children and we love those that we are privileged to teach. And I pray that you would help us to just guard our hearts and watch our steps as we go each day, that what they're seeing in us is you. I pray that you would be revealed in everything that we do and everything that we say. In the way that we react to situations, I pray that you would help our children here in this church to feel like they can come to us and trust us because we are living your word. And we can only do that because of the strength and the power that you give us. It can't be on our own. And I pray tonight that you would strengthen us as a church, strengthen us as a people, as parents, as grandparents, as mentors, as teachers, to be loving and to be mindful every minute of every day, to be disciples, disciplers of our children. And I also pray especially for our students, Lord. I know that this is such an important time in their lives. They're becoming independent. They're making their own plans. And I pray that they would seek you for those plans, Lord. I pray that you would be just the light of their life and that they would be ready to carry you to wherever they're going next if they're about to graduate. We know we're coming up on that time. And I pray you'd give them a great hope in you and a great strength in you and a great joy in you, because that's the only way we can have any of these wonderful things in our life. The joy that we need is only through you. So I pray for our students as they walk, as they grow, to seek you first. And I pray for our student leaders, pray for Jacob, and I pray for Ellie as they lead and help to get teachers and facilitate, give them what they need to be able to teach. I pray that you would keep us strong as a church to be using curriculum and material that's really God honoring, and everything is always pointing to you. So tonight, Lord, as a church, we seek you. We ask you to hear us. We ask that you would bless our children, bless our students in this church, and that you would give us hearts for you alone. In Jesus' name we pray.
Discipleship is not something that just happens by accident. It takes time to cultivate, which a lot of working parents, a lot of good middle-aged adults have precious little of. So the focus I want to draw your attention to is praying for our adults in this busy phase of life. Let's pray for our adults that are working careers and that are involved in parenting and bill paying and just the busyness of life. Let's pray that they would prioritize growing in Christ by being discipled and discipling others. Let us pray. Father, the earth is yours and the fullness of it. You alone are God. You alone rule. You alone are King. So God, we lift our eyes to you. As working people that are struggling in this life down here to find our way, and often, God, losing perspective that you're on your throne, that we are not building empires here. As we struggle daily, Lord, just to do life, Lord, we do not seek our own empire here. Here we have no lasting city, but we seek one that is to come. A city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God, we want to follow your way. We want to serve in your kingdom. Lord, we want to learn of you. Lord, I pray you would help us to be prioritizing not just the responsibilities of our lives, but also, God, especially to be at your feet, to seek your face, to learn of you, to receive grace from you, Lord, to be teachable, to be learners, drawing on the skill and grace of others in our lives, mentors in our lives, friends in our lives that help remind us of the way. And God, especially as we endeavor to disciple others, Lord, our children, our friends, our neighbors, those around us, God, that you've laid on our hearts to reach. Help us to be mindful and intentional, Lord, not to be distracted by even good things in this world, but God, to focus on you, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, knowing then that all these other things will be added to us. Lord, as I said, the earth is yours and its fullness. The psalmist who wrote that went on to say, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, has not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." God, I'm grateful tonight that the psalmist did not stop there. Because if that were the requirements of finding grace in my life, I would be so, so displeased. God, that is a horrifying thing to think that I must have all of this right to have clean hands and a pure heart to approach to you. I'm thankful tonight, God, that Christ responds in that psalm to say, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up your heads, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." The reply comes, "Who is this King of glory?" The answer from our ascending Lord is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. I'm grateful that you are mighty in battle, that you have won righteousness for us, forgiveness for us, grace for us, Lord, that we know that as we struggle and as we fail, Lord, we can rest in the righteousness you have provided for us, that we could be right with God and that we could walk in that freedom to follow you with confidence, to draw near to you with confidence. The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. God, be our glory. Be our King of glory. As we follow in this life, Lord, give grace to our parents, give grace to our working adults here in this church to follow you, to be disciple, to disciple those around us. God, give us grace to disciple our children. Give us grace to serve in our jobs faithfully. Serve in our church faithfully. God, that all that is done would resound to the King of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of my favorite anthems that this bunch up here in front of you that's not there tonight sings is "You Shall Be Witnesses." It talks about the original four C's of Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, the ends of the earth, and it sets that to music. I love that, and we sang it. I sang it before I came here. Let me get personal. 44 years ago Tuesday, I came here to look at this church. I was barely 8 years older than you guys. Okay, I'm 97 this year. Okay, I was a young dude, and I'd experienced a call. I didn't know where I was going. God provided through David Bradshaw the answer to that. And I drove up here, and it looked just as beautiful as Emory Poole has got it today. He is the best thing out there for that yard. And he does it wonderfully. And he works hard at it every week. But I drove up wondering what was going to happen to me in the kingdom of God. And I've spent my entire ministry here. And I'm no longer 8 years older than you. A whole lot more. And I've seen that call that never evaporates. and it should not evaporate, because Acts 1:8 really says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And I think that's a call that we can stop answering the call, John. But I think we don't have to, Jonathan. We can just keep right on going. And God's, and you guys are perfect examples. You just keep right on going with what God is doing in your life. Stacy, it's beautiful to watch you. Landon, what's happening through you. And we've got to do that whether we're 16 or whether we're 66 or whether we're 96 like I am. It doesn't stop. It doesn't expire. It is not a library book, Justice. It does not expire. And it has no due date. Let us keep that passion, that flame alive as we continue in the kingdom of God, whether it's out here on this corner, or it's in Hong Kong, or it's in Istanbul, or if it's in Atlanta, Georgia. Let's do that. We're going to pray for that right now, that our seniors will continue leading us in that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of age, the gift of maturity, the gift of spiritual maturity, and we pray that our senior adults, as well as all of our church family, will be committed disciples until the moment, until the time, until that second that God calls us home. And we just pray that our senior adults who are all over the tri-state here, witnessing in your name, shall remain vibrant, shall remain excited disciple makers who are going to make more disciples, who are going to make more disciples, and so on and so forth. And as we go forth, Lord Jesus, bless us that we have the continued support of those around us. We're all in this together, and we're all witnesses, such a great cloud. May we continue together loving you, Lord Jesus, and doing what you want us to do to further your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
One of the cool things that we get to do as brothers and sisters in Christ is we get to gather and pray together. And this is a weird kind of privilege that the world doesn't get. They don't get to pray to their Father. And so right now we're going to circle up into smaller groups of five or six. So find five or six people and circle up however you can. You may need to turn around or something. Don't twist your back or anything bad. We don't want any injuries tonight. But make sure everybody has a group, so get somebody that looks like they might not get a group, like Byron. He usually gets left out of these things. So make sure Byron gets a group. So do that now, and then Matt's going to come and pray for us once everybody's in their group.
Let's take some time now to pray in our groups. I want to give you several different prompts as we pray, and I'd like for us to just focus on the vision that fits within our disciples making disciples, specifically 40 disciples by fall, 40 baptisms. The Lord laid that on the heart of our pastor and on our staff and on our church. And so we want to pray to that end, that these people will come to faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized, and that we will be a church that is making disciples. So let's go in prayer, first of all, that God would draw people that are currently in our church who have not yet, for some reason, not yet given their lives to Jesus Christ, have not been baptized, that God would draw them out, that God would convict them, God would show them the beauty of the gospel for children, students, and senior adults. So let's pray specifically for that in our first prayer request. It actually should be a prompt on the wall, I believe. If not, just remember that. Someone in your group, remember that God will draw from our church those who have not yet made a decision to follow Jesus, specifically students, children, and adults. So that's everybody, okay, that God would call them out. So take some time to pray now. Next, if you would have someone from your group lead with this prayer request, that we would pray for those in our church who may be struggling with doubt in their faith. In fact, I just sat down with a young man this week who expressed that he felt like his initial experience with baptism and coming to faith was maybe not genuine. So that we would pray for those who are struggling with those doubts, and that God would not only give them greater faith, but greater clarity as to what he's done in their life. So if you take someone from your group to pray for our folks that are struggling with doubt. Next, I'd like to ask that someone from your group would pray for our community, for the lost people in our community, to pray a twofold prayer. One, that God would convict them of their sins and show them that they need Jesus Christ. And secondly, that God would give every person that comes to HFBC, Henderson's First Baptist Church, every member, every regular attender, that he will give them the opportunity to share the gospel with someone in our community, and that we will recognize that opportunity and have the courage and the faith to take advantage of that opportunity and share the gospel with those people. So pray that God would convict our community of their sin and show them Jesus, and that we would be used to help share the gospel with them. Take a couple minutes and pray for that. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we come before your throne with confidence that you hear our request. God, that you are able to grant our request, God, because you are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. God, you could do all things. God, we don't want to reach 40 by fall on our own power. We want to do it by your power. We want to see lives changed by the power of Jesus Christ and the gospel. The good news that we can be saved from our sins and we can be reunited to our Creator. And God, so we humbly come before you. Lord, we come with humility knowing that we need you, but we also come, God, boldly before your throne knowing that you have ordained that people be saved by the power of the gospel, and you have ordained for that to be done through your people. So we ask, God, that you do that through us. We ask, God, that you change our church, change our community, and change the world through what you do through your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Jesus tells us that he's with us as his followers to the end of the age. It's very comforting to know that when we go and share with others, that we go in his power, in his presence, and with his authority. But we don't know when the age will end, when that age will come, the end of the age. So let's pray for urgency. The urgency in our hearts to share and to disciple those that are out there. They need Jesus. We have the greatest thing in him. Let's pray. Father, we do come to you. We do praise you for the sweet gift of Jesus. And we thank you for your indwelling power within us. For your presence that goes before us and with us. For the power of a saving faith that you give. I pray now that you would give us a sense of urgency to share this with others. Now's the time to be making disciples. Lord, we pray that you would impress that upon the heart of First Baptist. Every member here and those that aren't here at this moment, Lord, may you be with them, drawing them to you, giving them that sense of urgency to share. We praise you for how you are acting within our fellowship and within our community right now. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. May we go now and tell. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
We know that God has heard our prayers this evening. He promises us in his word that he is sovereign, that he is always present, that he is always powerful, he's always listening. There can never be too many of his children praying at one time that he gets confused or is unable to discern what is being said. And so this evening we know that God has heard and God will answer. And so want to give the opportunity tonight, as is our practice with these prayer gatherings, if someone wants to celebrate something where God has answered a prayer and share something, this would be your opportunity to do that.
I'm not sure if a lot of you know, but my mother has had a lot of health issues. She lives in Hopkinsville, but she has been in the hospital since April 4th, and I just wanted to praise God that I was able to bring her home 2 days ago, so Friday evening. She's at home now. She's recovering from her sickness and regaining her strength. So all the prayers through family and friends and church members, I thank you for your prayers, and she's back home now, so thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Anybody else? Carol?
I get to teach Spanish at Henderson Community College, and while I don't make this part of my course, I do ask the Lord for opportunities to share, and he has given me many opportunities to share him Amen. With my students. And I just praise him for that, because there are many parts of this country where that would be very difficult. But he has allowed us to do that in this place.
Amen. Praise God. You know, that just, yeah, Jen, that Carol's praise goes to show that that if we ask God for opportunities to share, he's going to give them to us. So when you pray that, be serious, because he'll put somebody in front of you. Jen, go ahead.
About a month ago, Matt and I were going to Louisville to visit Shelby and some of the other kids that are up there. And it's more convenient for us to stay at the Legacy Center, but usually we stay with friends that we have there. But this time Matt was like, let's just cut the friends out of the meeting time. We've got 24 hours, we're in and we're out. Let's stay at the Legacy Center. So I'm like, oh, $100 night, let's do it, all right. And so I said, well, you know, I'm gonna pray about it. I'm gonna pray for our hotel room to be covered. So we went and had a really great time visiting everybody. And our total for our hotel room after taxes was $116. And I had prayed for it for about 2 weeks ahead of time, specifically for this hotel room to be covered. And on the way home from Louisville, after our entire weekend, I had told Matt, I guess my prayer wasn't answered. I guess we didn't get the $116. But that's okay. It's not a problem. I understand sometimes the answer to a prayer is no. Well, so when we got home, I did the normal routine, watered the plants, opened the blinds, checked the mail. Well, in the mail was an escrow check for $118. And so God had started answering the prayer that I prayed in March 2017 in April 2016, because it took a year of a dollar or two here or there for $118 to come and be the exact covering. Plus, I feel like a $2 Starbucks to cover that prayer.
All right. Praise God. Yeah. You know, there's no such thing as a small thing to pray to God for, because sometimes even things that we think are small, I mean, because most of us would think that $100, $116 is not that big. But God listens to everything and answers every prayer. So don't ever think anything, that's not big enough for God to be concerned about. Sometimes God answers a prayer just to show us that he can. Mr. Paul?
Thank God tonight I can be here, and thank you for all your prayers and visits and cards, and thank the good Lord for his mercy and love.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, praise God. If you couldn't hear Mr. Paul, he was thanking God for his ability to be here. If you don't know, it hasn't been but a month or two since Mr. Paul wasn't able to get out of his house and was even prepared to go and be with the Lord, if that's what the Lord was calling him at that time. But God wasn't done with him yet, and so he's healthy enough to be back out and around town and driving, and I'm sure witnessing again. If you don't know Mr. Paul, great servant of the Lord, evangelizes, does exactly what we're praying for tonight, takes those opportunities. So he is a disciple maker in the example that he sets for us. So we praise God with you, Mr. Paul, that you're able to be here with us and still inspiring us to do what you've spent a lifetime doing. So thank you for that. Anybody else?
I can't. can hardly speak when we have these prayer gatherings just because this is an answer to prayer. I just praise God for how he's working in our church, in your lives, drawing us all near to him through prayer. And I praise him for that. I thank him personally for, like you said, small answers to prayer. I can't encourage you enough just to follow the prompting of the Spirit to pray for someone, to shoot that text, whatever it might be, even when you really don't know them. I've had him work in amazing ways just today, and I just thank him for that, that personal. And thank you for praying.
Amen. Praise God.
I was way up in the balcony, and I looked at Connie, and I said, I feel like I'm supposed to say something, so I guess I'm going downstairs. 2 years ago, I never would have believed that my family would have been together as a whole family of five. And 2 years ago, I never would have believed that my husband and I would be going on a mission trip to Brazil, that he would be felt called to go on this trip. And Steve and I, along with several others, are going to be going on this mission trip on May 30th. And that's all because of prayer. And a whole lot of you guys in this room prayed for us, and I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful that God hears prayers and answers prayers, and I just want to say thank you, and don't give up. Because it seems like forever that you're never going to see the light at the end of that tunnel, but it's there, and God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just like sometimes God answers prayers, as I said, just because he can, and it might seem like a small thing, sometimes there's really big things. Here I go again, that God answers prayer for. But sometimes he says, wait just a little while, and I'll show you something mighty at the end of that if you'll just continue to wait and depend on him. And if you know Steve and Angie's story, that's one of those. So praise God. Anybody else? All right.
This October, right, we're going to be celebrating 7 years as a Hispanic ministry. And at the beginning, when we started as an outreach to have English classes. And there were some people that did that, and we did that for a few months. And we first met Leti and her daughter, who was little then. And she has a sister, Laura, and she came. But then we kind of lost connection. And we had invited and prayed for them then. And throughout the years, we've tried to keep a connection, and we've prayed for them and their family. And then recently, they've started to come to some of the Thanksgiving dinners and that kind of stuff that we've had. And their families are now going on the camping trip this summer with us. And last Sunday, Laura came to the service, and she said, God spoke directly to me. And she said, this is what I needed to hear. It's what I was going through. And I will be coming from this point forward. And her sister, Leti, was here this morning. And so after 7 years almost of knowing them, God is bringing them. And we know that they are at the point, the Lord is faithful, he's working, he's going to save them. But sometimes you have to wait. And so we give praise to God for that, that they are there and they now. They have that desire to be there.
And amen.
Well, I would like to share also that we have been praying for my wife's family. We have been praying for, I don't know, 5-6 years. And she longer. But my father-in-law, he's a Christian, but for many years, he stopped to almost 30 years. He stopped to attend to a church. He's a member of Airline Baptist Church. But his wife, Faye, she came with Lori in one of the women Bible studies on Monday, and she really got interested, and she was studying the Bible in home, and well, God worked through her to start again that ¿cómo se dice? Desire and hunger on my father-in-law to come again to Jesus Christ and to God. So now they are attending to Erlang Baptist Church, and Faye says that Easter Sunday was wonderful, and she's just hungry for God's word, and we praise him for the work that he's doing in them. Amen. So,
amen. Praise God. God does amazing, mighty things, and as Laurie reiterated there, sometimes he says, wait, persist, continue to pray. And so we want to continue to pray for Lete and that family as God continues to work in them for 7 years now, and they're coming closer to becoming believers in Jesus Christ. So put them on your prayer list. Pray for them that God would move in their hearts and draw them to him, that they would experience the good news of the gospel. Anyone else this evening? You also have the opportunity this evening to put prayer requests up here at the end of our service, and our prayer committee, prayer team will be praying for any of those, so make sure and write those down, because there's power in prayer. If you are praying, and then there's five or six or seven or a whole committee of other folks that are praying for them, that makes a difference. So let's make sure that we're getting one another focused on praying for the same thing that we're praying for, that God would hear multiple prayers on the same issue. So now I want to invite you to stand with me now as I want to pray specifically for you. I want to pray for you and for your family, and then we're going to sing the last two verses of What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because we can take everything to him in prayer. Okay. Yeah. National Day of Prayer this Thursday night, 5:00, Central Park. Another opportunity to come together with other believers to lift our needs to the Lord. So let me go to the Lord in prayer for you specifically, and then we'll sing together and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you so much for each one of these folks that are here tonight. I thank you for the families that are represented. I thank you for the individuals that are here. I thank you for the stories that we have heard and for the faithfulness that it has taken, sometimes for years and years, to faithfully get on our knees for these individuals to come to you, faithfully knowing that you hear their prayer and having confidence that you would answer that prayer. And so we celebrate tonight healed families. We celebrate healed bodies. We celebrate renewed desires for you. We celebrate people that are growing in their hunger for knowledge of you and your Son Jesus Christ as they begin to understand the bad news that surrounds them, that they might search for that ultimate good news. And so God, I pray for each person here tonight that they would continue to lift their needs to you, and that they would be disciples for you, that they would lean upon one another, that we would lean upon one another, and truly be strong for you as we reach out to our community, as we reach into our church to folks that may be struggling, that may be lost, that may be dealing with issues of doubt or pride that keeps them from coming to you, God. We ask that you would break them and that we would be there for them, to walk alongside them, and to see them grow into great powers for you as they become disciples. So God, be with us this evening as we leave this place. Help us not to forget that we can turn to you with everything in prayer. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
We trials and temptations.
Is there trouble anywhere?
We should never be discouraged.
prepared. Amen. Thank you tonight for being in an attitude and posture of prayer. And don't end just because the service is over. Go forward. Continue to be in prayer at every moment of every day, because God can answer our prayer. He can multitask. If we can multitask and focus on Him. So let's stay in that attitude of prayer for our church and for ourselves, that we would be true disciples of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed. Enjoy your evening.